Christmas. I'd love to add my welcomes to Steve. It's great to have you here. My name is Albie. I'm the senior minister here at Barney's. And if I haven't met you yet, I'd love to catch up with you over morning tea. Everyone's invited back to go over there where we can meet each other and others from the church who come here on a regular basis. Just a couple of quick things in terms of housekeeping. We love kids here, and that's why there's a kids pack, and on each of our regular Sunday services, we have a kids church and a creche. Just to let you know, there is also a cry room just in the hall next door where that camera actually has a live feed to it. And so if you just find it's a little bit tricky to juggle your children, feel free to make use of that. The talk is live streamed across there, so that's available as well. Now, I'm going to ask Jack to turn on a video, which we're just going to watch for a quick sec, and then we'll hear a bit more.
An angel came to see Mary. She was home.
The wonders of modern technology. So I'm just going to go up here and ramble a little bit as Jack figures out what's going on at the back. Okay. Thanks for the light. There you go.
An angel came to see Mary.
She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby. You will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast. Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed.
When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel were singing.
And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how it would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
If we're gonna, you probably already hit the lights. Hopefully, you got most of that along the way. The general gist of it was there, which is great. Now, I don't know if you picked it up as we were actually looking through that. There was actually a couple of mistakes along the way. Some of the mistakes that happen about Christmas time, and it's easy to make mistakes about Christmas. Now, don't worry, I'm not sort of going to be a Grinch and just point out all the problems, but because I realised that was actually a little bit of fun. But I'm not sure if you saw in the video, I'm not sure if Mary was doing the laundry when she saw the angel or if she was driving a buggy in those days. I'm pretty sure they didn't give Jesus a Frankenstein, even though I think there's a common children's misperception with that. Now, I understand that that video is from a kid's perspective, but there's a few things that adults get wrong when it comes to Christmas. The three men, for example, they're not called kings. That idea about there being three kings, that actually comes from the Christmas carol. That's where that idea comes from. They're actually called magi here. They are wise men, and they would study the stars. Back then, astrology was highly respected as a science. And so these guys, these magi, they are ancient scientists. They are wise men. We're not told that there are three of them. There are three gifts. But it might be that there's three magi. There could have been 30 magi. We don't know. They don't actually visit Jesus in the stable. I don't know if you heard that as it was being read out in verse 11. Jesus, by this stage, is inside of a house. And by this stage, he might be up to 2 years old. So sorry with the kid spot that we had earlier, and also with the Christmas cards. But the idea of the shepherds and the wise men in the stable together, that actually didn't happen. Now, before you go tearing up your Christmas cards, the point that I want to make here is not to be a Grinch when it comes to Christmas, but the idea that when it comes to Matthew chapter 2, the story of Christmas, which can be so familiar, it is easy to make mistakes. And things that we assume that we knew might not actually be the case. And so for the next 10 minutes, I want us to slow down to take a closer look at what is going on here. And as we look at Matthew chapter 2, there's three things that I want us to see. The first one I want us to see is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You've got your Bibles, the passage inside of your newsletter. Let me read verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Born in Bethlehem. Now, most of us know that. We know that Jesus is born in Bethlehem. We sang that in the Christmas carols just a moment ago. But that idea that he's born in Bethlehem is a little bit strange. It's a little bit like saying the next king of England, the one who's going to rule over Australia, who's the head of our state, the King of England is going to be born in Gundagai. You know, that's kind of the level that's going on here. I grew up in Wagga Wagga, which is 1 hour away from Gundagai. The most famous thing about Gundagai is that it has a dog on the tucker box. It's also in a song about a track winding back to a road on the way to Gundagai. But apart from that, it's kind of a small little place. It's insignificant. It's got a population of just over 1,900 people. Small little place. And as lovely as Gundagai is, it's not the kind of place you expect to find a king. And that's the same idea with Bethlehem. And that's why these wise men, they're looking for the king, and so they go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital. If you want to find someone important, you're going to find them there. But when they get to Jerusalem, nothing's happening. There's no celebration. There's no birthday party. And so they ask in verse 2, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? Now, King Herod is the man who's in charge. He gets the experts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law together, and then he sends the magi to Bethlehem, which is actually smaller than Gundagai is. So why Bethlehem? Why this tiny little place for the king to be born? And it's because God made a promise that's there in verse 6. You see, 700 years before this, before these wise men came to Herod, God said through a prophet called Micah, he said, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." You see, God was going to send a king, a special king. a king who has all the authority of God. And he's not just the king of England. This king is a king of everyone. People back then and people today. And this king is going to be born in Bethlehem. You see, God doesn't want us to miss who Jesus is. Jesus is this king. He is the promised king. Jesus is born in Bethlehem because God made a promise. But it also shows what kind of king he is. He is humble. He is humble. Let me tell you about Prince George. Prince George is the first son of Kate and Prince William. He's the third in line to the throne. And when he was born in London. He's born in the capital of Great Britain. And he was born in the Lindo wing of St. Mary's Hospital. Let me go back a little bit. Can you go back to the slide, Jack? And one more forward. I think we're both controlling. Go back one forward for this, Jack. He's born in the Lindo wing at St. Mary's Hospital. Now, that hospital is the best hospital you can get. You can get massages in your room. We should be on the next slide, Jack. You can get massages in your room at this hospital. There is a wine list for the guests who stay there. There is a team of chefs who will make your food to order. This is a place where a king is born. And the suite that Prince George was born in, to stay there costs $14,000 a night. You see, someone who is important, who's going to be the future king of England, is born in a place like that. But as we heard in the kids' spot, Jesus was born in the backwaters of Rome. He's born in this tiny place called Bethlehem. And he's not born in a palace. He's not born in a private hospital. He's born in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. Now, he is the king that God promised, but he's a king who is humble. A king who is generous, a king who comes to serve. Because one day when he's older, he will give up his life and he'll die on a cross to save us. That is the kind of king that he is. And so our first point, he's born in Bethlehem. Here is the king that God promised. Born in Bethlehem, but then our second point, he's hated by Herod. Hated by Herod. Herod's actually a pretty nasty character. This is a guy who murdered two of his sons and murdered his wife because he felt threatened by them, that they might try to take the throne off him. This is a man who was worried that no one was going to be sad when he died. And so he gave the order that when he died, a whole bunch of people were to be killed at the same time so that there would be crying upon his death. This is a nasty character here. And that's why in verse 3, everyone is worried when Herod was worried, because you don't know what he's going to do. Herod tells the Magi where they can find the king of the Jews. And then he tells them to let him know so that he can go and worship as well. Now, if you skip ahead in the story to verse 16 that wasn't read out for us, we're going to see this on Sunday. In verse 16, Herod doesn't want to worship Jesus. He wants to kill him. Jesus is hated by Herod. But why? Why does Herod hate Jesus? He hasn't even met him. And the simple answer is this: Herod doesn't want a rival. He doesn't want somebody else who's in charge, because Herod is in charge. He doesn't want to have somebody who is boss over him. Now, that response to Jesus, it's not just Herod, isn't it? That same response happens today. It's not as drastic as Herod. It's not as vicious as Herod. It's more respectable. But when we don't want the king that God sends to be our king, when we want to push Jesus away somewhere safe, somewhere to the fringes where we don't need to listen to him, well, that's the same response as Herod. We're saying, I'm in charge, and I don't want a king over me, even if it's God. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, hated by Herod, even today. Is that us, maybe? It brings us to our last point. He's worshipped by wise men. Because there's another response there, isn't there? The wise men come to the house and they see Jesus and they bow down and worship. And in verse 11, they open up their treasures. They give him gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. Myrrh is the resin of a tree that's used in perfume and it's used in medicine. Now, I would have loved to have been there to see Mary's face, try to work out as these visitors come in with these gifts, to work out what on earth is going on here. You see, Dawn and I, we have three children. And when they were born, we were given all sorts of gifts. We were given baby clothes. We were given a porta cot. We were given $100 worth of nappies, and that was really useful. All sorts of different presents given to us. But no one gave us gold or incense or myrrh. These gifts are ridiculously expensive. They are precious. And when our kids were born, people admired our kids. They cuddled our kids. They held our kids. But no one bowed down and worshipped. It's not that these wise men are crazy about babies. It's the fact that they understood something about who this baby is. That he is the king that God promised. And I don't think they fully understand what they meant, but this baby is the baby who is God's son. And he grows up, and this baby, when he becomes a man, he is killed. Not because of anything that he did wrong, but because of all the things that we do wrong. Jesus died for me, and he died for you to bring us forgiveness. And he came back to life again to show that he really is the king. The wise men, they are wise when they bow down and worship. And wise men and women who see that Jesus is king, they still do. They still bow down and worship this king, even today. There's a whole bunch of mistakes that you can make at Christmas. I was reading a website about all these different Christmas mistakes. It had your obvious mistakes that you can make, like drinking too much at the work Christmas party, or when it comes to a secret Santa that you just buy $20 worth of lottery tickets and call that your present. You know, that doesn't count. It had other ones like don't buy someone a diet cookbook or a gym membership. You know, it might not give the right message. If you really have to reuse a gift, make sure that it's new and make sure it doesn't have somebody else's name written inside of it. People make all sorts of mistakes when it comes to Christmas. But here's the biggest mistake, and I think the easiest mistake to make, is to leave Jesus as a baby. Just to leave Jesus as a baby. You know, the idea that it's nice to think about Jesus on Christmas Day, but then for the rest of the 364 days of the year, oh, just ignore him. And think that God is okay with that. Yeah, it's a big mistake to just leave Jesus as a baby. You know, on Christmas Day, when there's all sorts of things to do, presents to unwrap and family to catch up with, all sorts of things, maybe Christmas Day says to us that we need to find out more about who Jesus is. Maybe we need to have Jesus bigger in our lives, that he's not the king that he should be. Now, a little bit later, Steve's going to ask us to fill out those communication cards that are in front of us. I'd love you to write down your details and to let us know a bit more about yourselves, because we would love to help you as a church to find out more about who Jesus is and what does it mean that he is our king. Because on Christmas Day, of all days, we should be thinking about the fact that here is Jesus. He's born in Bethlehem. He is the king. He's hated by Herod, but worshipped by wise men and women, even today. Have a great Christmas.